Well, good evening, church. It's good to see you all. Glad that you all are back out tonight. I always love seeing you all and getting back to come back and worship twice. Whenever I was younger, it's funny, I'll tell you all this. Whenever I was younger, I really didn't enjoy, as a young age, I didn't enjoy having two services on Sundays. And I'm not sure why now. Because I really do love every single chance that we get to come together and worship our God together and sing praises, those songs that Brian led us in, those songs of praise to our God, and get to spend time with each other. It's such a blessing to be able to get together every single chance that we get. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter for the entire night, mostly tonight. I do want to do something a little bit differently tonight. I want to kind of zero in on a specific audience tonight. I want to let you all know who that is. I do want a lot of what we talk about tonight to be geared towards the young people, the young crowd. And now, so for everyone else, don't zone out, don't tone out everything. What the Bible says to one group of people, it says to everybody. And so we can all gain from this. But I do really want the young people, I know a lot of them are sitting over here on this side, but wherever you're sitting at, I really want this to be something that we all consider, and I'm in that group as well, as we are living our lives as Christians, what our expectations are. The book of 1 Peter, it's written to a very specific crowd, and I find it really, really interesting who Peter writes to. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in this area," and he listed a bunch of different areas. He says, "to the elect exiles." I think the New American Standard says, "to those who are aliens." That seems kind of strange to me, that aliens. I don't use the New American Standard usually, but whenever I picture aliens, I picture little green people, out-of-space creatures floating in a UFO. And we know that that's not what the word actually meant. It meant foreigner or stranger, somebody that wasn't from here. But why was Peter writing to foreigners? Well, I think that's because that's what Christians are. That's what Peter was trying to get across in this entire letter. You are foreigners, and you need to realize that. But we don't belong here. We're not earthlings. In a way, we are kind of extraterrestrials. We aren't from here. We don't belong here. We know that we're going to somewhere else. And Peter spends really the entire letter in 1 Peter talking about what that means, what that looks like, different things that you can expect, how you're expected to live based on that, that you're an extraterrestrial, that you're not belonging here. And that comes with a lot of advantages and a lot of disadvantages. The advantage is we don't belong here. Why? Because we're God's people. That's awesome. That's great. That's wonderful to know that we're God's people. But sometimes we're not always going to fit in. We're not always going to look like everyone else that lives here. And so Peter starts his letter addressing the extraterrestrials, the aliens, the elect exiles. But he says in verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ the dead." We're different. We're apart from everyone else because we have a living hope. We have this hope that no one else has. And we talk about that a lot, but that hope is through Jesus Christ. No one else has that except for us, except the elect exiles. We have in verse 4, "an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you." That hope that we have is that one day we're not going to be here anymore. We're going to be in heaven with God. And we can look forward to that. And Peter says later in the chapter in verse 13, "Therefore, preparing your mind for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We have this hope, and so think about that a lot. Set your minds on that. Set your hope on that. Be excited about that. We want to go home. That's really kind of our purpose here. We want to go home. I've never really been a homebody, and I think I've told you all that before. I'm okay with, like, my family, everyone lives in Kentucky, and I live here. And I miss my family, but I'm content. I'm fine. I don't really get homesick. When I went to Florida, I wasn't really missing home. I wasn't itching to get back to Kentucky. I've never really been like that, except for one time. I do remember one time when I felt like that. My family and I, we would go up to Canada pretty often. Mike and Sherry Stevens, I know some of you all know the Stevens family. They live in Canada. Mike preaches in Ontario. And my parents and Mike and Sherry are very, very close. They always have been. And so we would go up in the summers and spend about 2 weeks with them. And I can remember when I was very, very young, a lot of people make fun of me of my country accent. And it was a lot worse when I was about 6. And so I stuck out like a sore thumb in Canada. And I can remember at the end of those 2 weeks, I was ready to leave, to go back somewhere where I belonged. I was ready to go back home. And that happens to a lot of people. It's funny, when you go on vacation, at the end of your vacation, you're ready to get back to your normal routine a lot of times. You don't want to stay away from where you belong. And I know it's a little bit different for us in heaven because we don't want to go back home. We haven't been there yet. But that's the type of feeling that Peter is describing here. We're longing to go where we belong. And that should be something that drives us. He says later on about us being exiles in chapter 2, in verse 11, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." Because we're aliens, because we're extraterrestrials, we live differently. We have different rules. We have a different culture. We don't look like everybody else. And that affects how we live. That affects how we treat each other. That affects how we treat people that aren't like us. That affects how we make decisions in our lives. It changes everything about us, and we don't act like people that are earthlings here. And because of that, Peter says, you can expect to be maligned. You can expect to be made fun of. You can expect to not fit in. And he says in the next verse, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." He doesn't say if they speak evil of you. He says when they speak evil of you, when they start making fun of you, when they start realizing that you're different than them. And he says in chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 3, he says, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, the law and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join with them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you." It surprises people that are in the world that we aren't like them. And it should. All right, but people that see us, especially younger people, it happened a lot to me. I was public school. It happened a lot to me. You're going to a Bible study on Friday night? It's Friday night. You don't drink? How do you have fun? How do you have a good time without drinking? And now you want to talk about God? Do your parents make you do that? Why are you so excited about that? And people in the world view what we have like that. It's surprising. It's different. It's not normal. And that's what we can expect as aliens, as exiles here in the world. And Peter says, don't be surprised. But not only that, not only from Gentiles, not only from those who are in the world, he says later on in chapter 4 in verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." It's not just people that will affect us in a negative way. Sometimes things just don't work out in life, just in general. And Peter says, don't be surprised. Don't act like it's strange. Jesus promised that to the apostles over and over, that the world is going to hate them and that there are going to be trials that come about. And we know that those are for us to produce endurance, and that God is testing us. God is helping us to grow in those things. But don't be surprised whenever that happens to you as an exile, as an alien. But I don't want to talk about really any of those things in detail tonight. I want to focus on one other specific thing that Peter says about us living our lives here on this earth as aliens. And that's in chapter 1 in verse 22. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 22, he says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again." One thing that we need to realize, especially as young people, but as Christians in general, is that we need each other. And we really, really need each other. And Peter talks about that in this letter and how we're supposed to treat each other, how we're supposed to react to each other here in this group, here at Gettysburg, how that's supposed to look. And he says, love each other with a brotherly love. And it's interesting that he says a brotherly love, because in the next verse, in verse 23, he says, you've been born again. All of us were born into different families. My family is in Kentucky. I have a different physical family than you all. I don't think I'm related in any way, cousins or distant cousins or anything, to anybody here. But that family that I was born into, my worldling family, is different than my alien family, my Christian family that I have. I now have new brothers and sisters, and I need to love them like they're my brothers and sisters. And I need to do that. Peter says, love them with a brotherly love, earnestly. Other versions will say fervently love them. What does that word fervent mean? It means fiery. It means on fire. It means intense, an intense love. And then he says, have that love from a pure heart. Make sure it's genuine. Make sure that it's actually something that you feel from your heart. People can go through the motions a lot of times with loving people. And I think especially for younger people, that's a thing. You want to put on a show for your parents. You want to make sure that everyone thinks that you really, really care. But then once you leave, I don't really care about those people. I just kind of bear with them. But that's not how Peter says we need to feel about each other. Fervently, with a fiery, intense love, love each other from a pure heart. And so I just want to look at three verses here in 1 Peter in chapter 4 of things that Peter tells us to do as Christians, how we need to treat each other based on the fact that we are exiles here. And so he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 8, he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. The proverb writer will say it just a little bit differently. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Isn't that true? Hatred stirs up strife. It really does. So for us as Christians, as exiles, whenever somebody, how do we apply that? Whenever somebody looks at us and maybe like they look at us cross-eyed, or they say something that kind of hurts our feelings, or they maybe ignore us and we think that they're angry at us, or some little petty thing happens, it's a tendency for hate to want to go and make that bigger than it actually is. My dad would always say that you're making mountains out of molehills all the time. That this little tiny thing, you want to stir it up and make it something that it's not. That it's really not. And that's what hate does. But love covers all offenses. We talked about this on Friday night, some of the young people that were getting together on Friday night. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 says, do not take to heart all the things that people say to you, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. He says that don't pay attention to the little petty things. Just let them roll off your back. But Paul would say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when they were suing each other and fighting with each other and really at its core hating each other, which Paul addresses in chapter 13, he says, just take the loss. It's better to just not fight back and just keep on loving each other. And God would talk about love all throughout his Bible, all throughout the Word. You can start in Genesis chapter 1 and you can go to Revelation 22 and you see love on almost every single page in the Bible, how important that love is. And so Peter says, love one another fervently because it covers all offenses. Don't treat each other poorly like that. And then he says in the next verse, Chapter 4 in 1 Peter, verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. For young people, hospitality, that's a thing that we kind of attribute to older people. That you guys have your house, you guys have your car, you guys have all this money. You can be hospitable, but I'm not there yet. I can't be hospitable yet. And so how can young people be hospitable? Well, I want you to consider this. Being hospitable, it really at its core is just loving people. It goes back to what he said about just loving each other fervently. So how can you love people in a hospitable way? For young people, just bring people into your group. Just bring them close to you. And it's so, so important for young people to get this down. There's a dear friend of mine who I don't think any of you all know. Now, I won't say his name, just in case you all do know him. Whenever he was around 21, 22 years old, he fell away from the church, and he hasn't returned yet. And the reason why is because he's a young man that was struggling with homosexual temptations. And he was terrified of telling that to anybody. Because he believed, I know this now, because he believed that if he did say that, he wouldn't be welcomed in a hospitable way. He wouldn't be loved. He would be hated by his Christian brethren. And so he just kept it a secret until he finally told someone, one of his coworkers in the world. And they met him with open arms. And they said, we'll take you how you are. We love you. We'll accept you. They gave him that hospitality that he wasn't finding in the church. And so he fell away. And he decided that he didn't want Jesus anymore. He didn't want God in his life anymore. Because there wasn't that sense of hospitality in his group there. Showing hospitality is so important because we don't know what each other are going through. There could be people in this room that maybe feel like outsiders, that don't feel like they belong here because they haven't been reached out to before. And Peter says later in his book, or in his letter in chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8, he says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." The devil is working on everybody in this room, every single person. Maybe different for certain people, maybe easier for certain people right now, maybe really, really hard for certain people right now. But if we aren't hospitable to each other, if we're not loving each other, if we're always constantly fighting with each other and letting petty things get in the way of our relationships, the world will be more than happy to take those people in if we don't do it ourselves. And it's so important for the young people especially to do that, because I know countless people. I have a lot of friends, a lot of people that I love very, very dearly who are my age, who had the same situation that I had growing up that aren't faithful anymore. And there are a lot of reasons similar to my friend that I just described because of that. Because hospitality wasn't shown. Because they were pushed to the outside and just left there. It's the nature of lions whenever they're hunting to go after the weak, to go after those who are on the outside. And that's what Satan does. We need to be aware of that as Christians. And then the last statement that Peter makes here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's stewards of God's varied, as good stewards of God's varied grace." He says, use your gifts and serve and glorify God in that. I want to be very clear. I'm talking about myself here. I want to be very, very clear with that. Whenever I'm saying this, I'm talking directly to myself. I have been very, very blessed in my life. Very blessed. I have an excellent family. My parents love me. My parents were there for me all through my childhood. They led me to Jesus. I had a wonderful church family that I grew up with whenever I was younger. I was able to participate in a lot of things that I really enjoyed. I played a lot of sports. I had a lot of free time. I've always been kind of the guy that, and I don't want to sound boastful, but just kind of the guy that everyone kind of gravitates towards. I just kind of have that personality. I like spending time with people. And for the first 21, 22 years of my life, I never used any of that to serve people. Not once that I can really remember. I never made any sacrifices with the gifts that God gave me. I am so blessed. And I know that there are people in this church that don't have what I had growing up. And I'm sorry for that. But I know that there are people in this church that have what I had growing up and that are kind of like me and that aren't making sacrifices and that aren't going out of the way and that aren't doing the hard things to use what God has gifted you with to help people, to serve people, to love each other. Making sacrifices as Christians is so important. It's the nature of Christianity. It's what our entire faith is based on. And a lot of times we don't use the gifts that we have because we think that maybe that person doesn't deserve it. I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. Do you? Jesus, over and over, he kept loving me even whenever I was hateful, even whenever I didn't deserve it. He kept loving me, and so it's my responsibility with the gifts that God has given me to love other people and to help them and to serve them and to truly be hospitable and use the gifts that God gives me every single day to help each other. That's for the young people. That's for the old people. There's no age barrier with that. But I want to especially remind the young people of that because I made a lot of mistakes in that area in my life. Don't do that. Love each other. Use your gifts that God has given you to help each other and reach out. And so I just have three practical ways to do that, especially for the young people. The first way is step out of your comfort zone. Do something that makes you uncomfortable. Because a lot of times, stepping out of your comfort zone, that's where the best things really happen. That's the best relationships that you can have with people. When you break down all of the walls, you break down all the barriers, and you just be open with somebody. take risks. Risks are where good things happen. Solomon will say in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, this is a super convicting passage for me. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and verse 1, he says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not whether disaster will come upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and if the tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. That last verse. If you just keep observing all of these different things and not acting on them, nothing is going to happen. Step out of your comfort zone. I don't know anybody that enjoys stepping out of your comfort zone, and that's not the point. You don't have to enjoy it. You just have to do it. Step out of your comfort zone, do something hard, make a sacrifice, help somebody. Talk to somebody that you would never talk to before. Help them. And do that, even if you're not comfortable doing it. The second thing, I know I've kind of made a lot of points to the young people, but step out of your age bracket. Talk with people that are older than you. Talk with people that are younger than you. Paul said that to Titus when he wrote the letter to Titus in Titus chapter 2. Older men, help the younger men. Younger or older women, help the younger women. There's a lot that can be gained. All the young people that are throughout the room. Younger women, you can learn a lot from the older women here. Younger men, you can learn a lot from the older men that are here. I know I didn't ask him before, but I'm going to maybe embarrass him. Franz Romanek. I love Franz Romanek. He's one of my dearest friends. I've known him for 4 months now. And he is one of my dearest friends. And I'm being completely serious when I say that. I love spending time with Franz. I love talking with Franz. After I teach a Bible class, Franz is one of the first people that I want to go to and ask him, what did you think about that? Did I make this point correctly? How would you have done it? How could I have done that better? Franz will come to me after Bible class. What did you think about that? How did you think that point was made? Was it made correctly? And we enjoy spending time and talking with each other about that. We're teaching the meetup that I mentioned on Saturday together, Lord willing. Spending time with Franz, it's been a huge blessing in my life. And Franz and I are very different. Franz is a lot older than me. He could be my dad. But I love Franz. And that's been such a huge blessing for me, stepping out of my age bracket and developing that relationship with him. Find somebody out of your age bracket and help them. If you're younger, you can help an older person. If you're older, you can help a younger person and grow together in that. And then the last one, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourself. That kind of goes hand in hand with the first two. Step out of your comfort zone and step out of your age bracket. But just humble yourself. Get over yourself and do what needs to be done. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6, after Peter gets done talking to the elders and the shepherds and their responsibilities in the church, he says in verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Humble yourself. Get yourself out of the way and do what you need to do to serve people, especially people in this room. We're all, like Peter said, elect exiles, aliens. We're outcasts. We're foreigners in this world. And we need each other. We need to get over the petty differences that we sometimes can have. And we need to use our gifts that God has given us to help each other grow closer to God. Until we all get back to heaven, and God eventually will restore us to himself in heaven forever. I love you all. I love you all a lot. And I'm so thankful for this group here. I know that you all do a great job of that as well. But I do know that we can always grow. We can always do better. Let's pray together. Our Father God, you are great and awesome. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us, for being so sacrificial to us, for being so loving to us,
giving us things where we don't deserve them and giving us more than we could ever ask for. God, you have created everything through your power. You have made the perfect plan of salvation for us, that we can overcome our sins, that we can be freed from our sins through the blood of your Son. God, we are thankful for that. Lord, please be with us as a church here. Help us to grow closer with one another, to love each other genuinely as brothers and sisters from a pure heart. God, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to let our love cover over offenses, to be hospitable to each other, to use the gifts that you give each one of us for the betterment of each other. Lord, help us to be selfless in that and to grow as a church and to produce the love that you have shown us in every relationship that we have. God, thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't become a part of the family that we're talking about, those elect exiles, those aliens, it's the greatest experience that you will ever have in your life to realize that you can be baptized and that you can rise out of the water and you can be free. It's the greatest feeling you'll ever feel in your life. But it won't stop there. You will become a part of this community, of this church that genuinely loves you and that can help you and that can grow with you and that can rejoice with you when you're rejoicing and can weep with you when you're weeping. And you'll have so many blessings from God. If you need to be baptized tonight, or you need the help of the church in any other way, please come forward and do that now while we stand and sing.